Okay, welcome to Helenwood Baptist Church, or I hope you had a good day today and be able to spend some time with the people in your life. If you have your mom in your life, I called my mom on the way home and told her Happy Mother's Day, and she's down in Florida, and she had a good day today, and I'm glad I got to talk to her. And I'm also glad to a lot of people here that have been very kind to my family, even though we're not related. It's funny, you stand someplace, and I was Irvin. I tried to talk to him at the gas station. It took forever. Every third person, hey, Irvin. I said, is there anybody you don't know? and I was clueless to whoever in the world he was talking to. And so I appreciate how kind you are to our family. And taking us in and making a part of your the church family here. I just keep praying for those at home. Sarah is still recovering from her surgery, and Wendell said she's doing good. Lila Phillips, if you've got, we can't go by and see her, but her number's in the bulletin. In the directory. Give her a call. She would like that. Same way with MC Gore. I talked to him the other day on the phone. He really, really enjoyed. You got Jack Burris. How's he doing, Obi?
He's getting better. He's still got a way to go.
Okay, and still got the infection in his lung?
Yes.
Okay, and Obi has his number. You could reach out to him that way, and I don't know if I'm missing anybody, but, normally we would do that. I mean, for sure, I would. I'd be over there in the hospital or whatever, and we just can't do that. But we don't want them to go through that and not have people pray for them or care about them. So if you get a chance to do that, I know they would appreciate it. We got a couple people singing. Who wants to go for Tracy? Okay.
Sometimes this world can't seem to understand how in trouble sometimes I'm able to stand. But in the grace and the mercy my Lord has given me, in the midst of my storm, He calms the raging sea. My God is real. He's the answer to my prayers, a comfort in my time of need. My God is real. He's the truth, the way, the one true saving grace I feel. Oh yes, my God is real. There was a time in my life when I cannot believe that God could save a sinner like me. But then down on my knees in an altar of prayer, God was forgiving and He met me there. My God is real. He's the answer to my prayers, a comfort in my time of need. My God is real. He's the truth, the light, the way, the one true saving grace I feel. Oh yes, my God is real. My God is real. He's the answer to my prayers, a comfort in my time of
sin, at that moment, God cannot be real, or else in clean conscience, you couldn't do it. You know, I mean, that'd be silly. You know, you would have a certain fear in you. When the children of Israel were dancing around that cow, at that moment, they put that out of their mind. You know, they it wasn't real to them. Because why would you do that and know that he sees it and hears it? And so it's really how amazing how fast your brain can turn that off, you know? But we can just hold on to that. And then also, you know, now's the time to really exercise that and show the people around us that God is real. This is just a thought. What if the thing rebounds in 3 months? Now, this is just a theory, throw it in the trash. But I don't know as if they'll ever get America shut down like they did this time. I just don't know if they can do it twice. Because people are a little gun shy, right? I just don't know if they would successfully pull off shutting the whole entire country down like that. Because we all, you know, this is all new, right? And you just did what they say. Now you got some obstacles out there. So who knows what's ahead of us? All I know is this, that if God is real, we have something they don't have, right? We have that. So our life looks different than their life because God is real, you know? And therefore, I can count on him. I can trust him. It's not that you just throw caution to the wind. It's just that there comes to a certain point that unless you stop living, the really only safety thing you have. So now you could do that, I suppose. You could just, you know, get a, you know, atomic bunker someplace, you know, and hole up and, you know, come out when everybody else is gone. Maybe you could do it that way. But that's not the case. But there's a certain amount of peace. Just know when you walk out tomorrow morning, God's real. Absolutely 100% real. And you carry that in your heart with you as you go, it'll help you. Tracy.
My ball's on here. Y'all pray for me. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. Shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day. Through the promised land, What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day.
Thank you for sharing in song tonight. I appreciate that. If you have your Bibles with you, go to Psalms chapter 37. We're going to do a little bit of flipping around this evening. We'll start out in Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. And Lord willing, after the service, I just want to share a quick video from Africa. Akam did a video for me today of some folks coming by that was in need today, and I'll share that with you afterwards. Psalms 37 and in verse 7. You know, I mentioned this before. It's something that I really, I don't want to get wrong. You know, churches are made up of vast amount of people, and you want to try, because the Bible, you know, instructs a pastor to be a shepherd, and sheep are different, and they come in, the problems in their life are different. We're at all kinds of different areas. You know, there's some that are retired and some that haven't even started working yet. You know, there's some that are single and there's some that are married, and you've got this whole gamut of people, and I really believe the Bible has. We as human beings, as God's children, we need help from the Bible. And in as I pray about what to preach, you know, you try to think about how to get a message out there. You know, you don't want to isolate one group or another and leave somebody hungry. But this is something tonight, I think, is that we can apply it to our lives, no matter who you are. And that's the idea of this, is that, you know, the Bible says that God's word is a light unto our feet. And if that's true, then he's guiding us, right? But he's not audibly here to sit here and give you specifics, right? Specifics. He's not here to do, he doesn't do that. You've got a Bible. And you got to try the best you can to make sure you're doing what he wants. How many of you believe that God's timing is best? You believe that? Amen. Okay, the idea of that is knowing God's timing. We know that God's timing is best. Have you ever gotten ahead of God's timing in something? Okay, and not only can you get ahead of it, God could be ready to move and you not be ready to move. It can go both directions. You can get ahead of God and force a situation, or you can worry about a situation, you know, and it can overwhelm you. Or the opposite can happen. God can be ready to do something in your life, and he's waiting on you. He's ready to move right now. I believe that's the case in salvation. You know, a lot of times people walk out of a church service lost. God speaking to their heart. I mean, can you remember sitting in a church service, feeling conviction, and there's people in here that have that testimony that felt conviction but walked out the door, didn't give in to it. You know, now God in his mercy lets you hear it again and again and sometimes again and sometimes again. But the first time you got convicted, he'd have saved you then if you'd have moved. Okay? You know, and a lot of times God's ready, and then we're the ones that aren't ready. You know, in our lives, you know, we say, man, we want God to lead us. We want God to direct us. And all of a sudden he does. And then we're the ones that pull back from that. So tonight, I just want to go through here and get some help on learning to be able to trust the timing of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this evening. I pray that you would help us as we look into it. And Lord, it's just amazing what the Bible is. Lord, this is from you. And if we would just listen and live by it, we could save ourselves so much trouble, and to know that you left this to us. And Lord, there are people that run big, huge corporations that don't have the things that we have when we open the Bible. Lord, the guidelines of our everyday life, each step, each aspect of it, is in your book because you love us. And Lord, sometimes what we have a problem with of being able to know when your timing is right. And sometimes you're ready and we're not. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us tonight as we look at that and just see what the Bible says about that. And you'd help us to apply it to our hearts. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Psalms chapter 37, I want you to look here at verse 7. The Bible says this: rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord. And then it says, wait patiently for him. Because oftentimes what happens is we get anxious about a situation. Whether it's a relationship or a financial thing or a job thing or whatever it is, we begin to get anxious about it. We begin to worry about it. And when you begin to worry about something, when you begin to overthink it in your mind, when you begin to make something that's God's problem your problem, there's just some things that are not in, that I can't do. I just can't do them. When I make God's problems my problems, and then I begin, like health, that's in the Lord's hands. You know, I mean, a problem with somebody else, you could be doing right and the other person can be doing wrong and you can't fix the other person. Amen. Only God can do that. Amen. But it's really easy to get anxious about that, get worked up about that, worry about that, fret about that, make that your problem when that's really God's problem. So the first thing he tells us here is he wants you to rest. In other words, give that to him and let him work. And he's in the background working in all of our lives every day. I mean, you think about just how it worked out for me to come here. I mean, God was working in the background far before I ever knew it. You know, and there were times when I just didn't know what was ahead. Had no clue. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. You know, all I know is this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. The rest of that, I'm going to have to wait on the Lord. You know, with Miss Connie being sick in Africa, well, that poses a problem. I mean, we want her to get better and we want her to come back. And I can sit and worry about that, or I can just give that to the Lord and trust his timing, that he's in control. And what he says here, it says, in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thy, and it says wait patiently for him. Not only does he want you to rest, then he wants you to wait. And he uses that word patiently, and don't put God on your timeline. All right, okay? We can't do that. We can't make God, and you don't want to do that. Because his way is the right way. And oftentimes he's working in somebody else's life at the same time. And we just got to let him be patient and let him be God. So he says in verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You believe that? Okay. Now, I don't think that you can apply that to winning the lottery, you know, because those would be selfish things. But in our lives, I know this. If I commit, I mean, I could have a dollar for every time I've told somebody this when they've had a problem out in front of them. Somebody goes through a divorce and then they say, boy, one day I'd like to meet somebody, a good Christian person. And they say, yeah, I just don't want to be alone. I don't know what to do. And here's what I tell them. I promise you, you get in the Bible and you get in a good church and you do what's right. And you will smile again. Now, I can't tell you when. I can't promise you. I don't know when. But you can cash a check 100% sure on the other. That God in his timing will meet the need of your heart. Because it says it right here. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. Okay? I mean, so now you get in there and you try to force a situation, and you'll end up regretting that. You know, let's go back to the bottom of that. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way. You can look out there at the world and say, I just heard this the other day, and they say, well, if I'm doing right and this person is doing wrong, why are they happy and I'm not happy? And I said, just give it time. And those two will flip. Because God is real. If a Christian who claims to be saved is living every day in sin, it will only be a matter of time until that starts coming through in their life. And believe me, when that happens, you won't want anything to do with that. And just because it's not happening now doesn't mean it's not going to happen, because that's what happens when you walk away from the Lord. So don't get caught up in that and say, well, it's unfair because they're happy and I'm not happy. Let the Lord work. Commit your way to Him. Then step back and rest and wait patiently for Him. And that's making God God. Okay, let's go on to Psalms 123. Psalms 123 in verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, until that He have mercy upon us. So look at verse 1. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. And I'll read this again. Behold, as the eyes of the servant looketh unto the hand of the master. The servant looks at the master to take care of him and to meet his needs and to make sure there's food on the table and make sure that he's protected. Then he goes on and gives this illustration. As the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, and that's her boss, that's the one that she's working for, and she looks to her mistress for what she needs every day. And look at this. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, that He may have mercy upon us. We look to Him and we wait on Him. And you wait and you rest in the fact of who He is and how much He loves you, and that He can look around the corner and you can't look around the corner. He can see into the future and you cannot see in the future. And He is working to do His good pleasure. And all I have to do, the only thing that I am responsible for in my daily life, is to live for Him. You know, all of the other things that I don't know, if you had asked me 10 years ago, would you be pastoring in Helenwood, Tennessee, I'd have said no. What wouldn't even be the closest thing on my radar screen? I have no idea. But I am very thankful for the journey that the Lord has taken my family on, and being able to say, okay, His timing is best. And then I have to adjust my schedule to Him, not the other way around. You know, and when He does it and you step back and look at it, there's a lot of peace there. Let's go, if you would, to Psalms 145 in verse 15. Psalms 145 in verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of who? Every living creature. And that's including us. Okay? So that's something that we can count on. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. That means when He's ready and when we need it. He's never late. Now, there's some times He's come skidding into home plate last minute, but He's not late. I mean, there's times when, and you know what? That's important for us, because remember, we're down here. We can get sidetracked. We can get lost and entangled in this world again, and we need to trust Him. The Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter if you're the president of the United States of America. If he's a believer, he still needs to pray that prayer and mean it, because we need that interaction. And sometimes God takes it right up to the wire, not because He's not capable of doing it sooner, because if it was sooner, we would miss out on what He's doing in our life. And that's sometimes, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, have you ever seen and honestly thought, man, if He doesn't do something tomorrow, and guess what? He shows up. Now, if He'd have done it immediately, you'd have missed that journey. And you got to focus on what he says in due season. And then here's another word you need to focus on. It says, and thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. God knows what you need. Okay? And he loves you. That's why he would give it to you if it's in your best interest. There'd be no reason for him not to. But he also knows when you're right. I think about Joseph. Do you think he was just playing around with Joseph? First he goes into a pit. Then he goes to Potiphar's house. Gets thrown in jail. Then he spends time in jail. And you know what he was doing? He was waiting on the Lord. Along that journey, he was working in Joseph's life for him to develop. God was ready for Joseph to be second in command. Joseph wasn't ready for it. He was. Now, in my journey with my family and Maggie, when I first got married, I told her I was going to be a missionary. I'd have left immediately. My wife didn't get saved. She was saved for 2 years when I met her. Okay, so 2 years after she got saved, she became a pastor's wife. At that moment, she'd tell you she wasn't ready to go to Africa. Wasn't ready at all. It would not have been good for her to do that. It was not time. And by the way, it wasn't time for me either. Because I look at spending 10 years at Slippery Rock Baptist Church, and I look at how many people got saved during that time and how many people got called to preach and that are pastoring today then, and I look back and think, well, that's what I needed to do. Even though at that moment I thought, I'd like to go to the mission field. But she wasn't ready for that yet. But then the day came when she was. And God had taken her to that spot where now we could go as a family and go serve the Lord in Africa. Well, Joseph wasn't ready. God was more than capable of making him the leader. But along those lines, think about what he learned, and that's what's important. It's what we learn by waiting. We learn his kindness. We learn his gentleness. We learn that he is sufficient. We learn that even if I've got this empty spot, he can fill that empty spot until he fills that empty spot. Does that make sense? Okay? He can be enough until he brings out what you need. He can be enough. And that's what the Bible is saying here. If I'll go to Psalms chapter 27. We'll just look at a couple more of these. And do you know why I like to look and wear a thought out like this? Because once you get a concrete foundation that you can't dispute it, all right, once you've built that, then it should be easy for us to work from there. Once it's evident that we're able to wait on him, Psalms chapter 27, 13 and 14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And it is ironic that the writer here says this in verse 3, I had fainted. I mean, he would have given up. Unless I had believed. He believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He's saying, listen, you just sit back and let him be God. So we've established that good enough. And then we're going to look at some areas where, people did that. But let me point this out to you. Remember the children of Israel, and we've looked at it recently, so I won't turn to it. Remember how God wanted to send them into Jericho, okay? Who was late that day? They didn't go into Jericho. Instead, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Do you know who got put on hold that day? God. See, God was ready to move. Well, he had taken them in there. All he needed for them to say, hey, we'll go. He was ready. His bags were packed. The defeat in his mind already happened. He was ready to go. But the people weren't ready to go. Do you know why sometimes? You ever think why some churches grow and some churches don't grow? Sometimes you can reach. Sometimes we get in the way of that. God's ready to do something, but we're not ready. Sometimes it happens in revival. I just don't believe a God in heaven, from what I know about the Bible, that you got to beg and beg and beg and beg and beg and beg and him not hear that. Not about revival. I mean, that'd be like throwing him a slow ball up the middle. When we don't see it, you can rest assured it's not his fault. It'll always be ours. When you have a verse, if you say, if my people, which are called by my name, when you've got something like that, well, then you know it's in your park. And sometimes God wants to do something. But are the people really ready for the work? Are they really ready for the commitment? I mean, you know, you can't serve God without some level of sacrifice, and that's the end of that. You can't do it. If you're going to have a good prayer life, you're going to have to sacrifice something. If you're going to evangelize, you're going to have to sacrifice some pride. You're going to have to sacrifice some discomfort. You know, talking to people out there openly about God, you're going to have to sacrifice some things. You know, God might be very ready. I know there's times in my life, without a doubt, God was ready for me to talk to somebody, but Dave wasn't ready. You ever felt that tugging inside of your heart when you know you should say something about God? You know you should. You can feel it inside. And you push it off, and you push it off, and you fight that. The devil certainly isn't telling you, hand somebody a gospel tract. The devil certainly isn't going to say, hey, invite them to church. The devil's certainly not going to say, hey, why don't you bring up the Lord? The devil's not going to do that. So if that tugging's in your heart, then you know that's from God. When you don't do it and he's tugging you to do it, then he was on time, you weren't on time. Man. I mean, have you ever had God tell you to do something? Have you ever had God say to you, I need you to give this person this amount of money? And you ever feel that inside and then not do it? Or I need to go call this person. Or I need to do this and I need to do that. You know, God was ready on the end of that to make that up and go with you. And he's ready to take you on that journey. But we weren't ready enough to trust him. Believe me, there's lots of things God wants to do and wanted to do that don't get done in our life. Now, he'll do them in somebody else's. You're not gonna tie the hands of God. But you can tie the hands of God in your life. You're not going to stop him from working in the world. He'll just go to somebody else who's ready to go. That's all he'll do. Okay? I mean, so that the hands that you'll tie are your hands, not his. You'll limit what he can do in your life by not being ready. We say we want to, hey, well, I want to do something for the Lord. When he gives you that opportunity to do something and then you don't do it, who was late? So we want to make sure that we can go in reverse. He can be ready and we're not ready. All right, let's look at a couple of these stories real quick. Go, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And I want you to look at, let's go here to verse 6. When the men of Israel, this is talking about Saul's sacrifices, getting ready to go in battle. Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets, and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him trembling. They were worried. Okay, they were getting ready to go in the battle. They were worried. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and a peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, and that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together. So he looked out there, and he saw the enemy. And he's looking, and he's like, man, he's supposed to be here. He's supposed to be here. This actually happened. I mean, and God was doing things in your face real back then, more than you see actually. I mean, they witness things that we don't get to witness. I mean, and he absolutely knew. I mean, he's gone into battle with God before. And he lost sight of the fact that if God's on your side, it don't matter if there's 700 million enemy out there. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but no, you just wait. And he'll show up when he's ready to show up. And then he got nervous because the people got nervous, and they're trying to force the situation. And I don't know if it was just Saul's idea or somebody come up to him and Saul went along with it, but Saul did the sacrifice, and he wasn't supposed to do the sacrifice. That was Samuel's job. He wasn't allowed to do it. Okay? So he pushed the situation. He did something that wasn't his to do, and when Samuel asked why, he said, because you were late, or basically because God was late. God was not late, 100% done on purpose to see whether or not Saul would honor him and wait. That's what that was all about. Is Saul, am I really God? You know, down from heaven when he asked you to wait, here's what he's saying. Hey, am I really God? Do you really believe I can do anything? Do you really believe that I love you? Have you ever told somebody, trust me, just trust me? Okay, we've done that to people. You're trying to talk them into something. And they got all of these questions and all of these, I mean, I've done so much counseling, and really counseling is, the only counselor you need is this Bible. But I'm more than happy to take it and help people with it. And you tell them, just trust me, do this. If you do this, you will win. Every time you win. You get close to God. You do what's right. You stay faithful to what you know right now, today. And I promise you, God in his mercy and his sovereignty will put the pieces together. Trust him. That's what he was saying to Saul. Saul looked up. I mean, think about that. If honestly you cannot count on God, then this whole thing's a waste of time. Because you know what I'm counting on? I'm counting when I get there, all this is true. And so are you. That's what I'm counting on. So if I can't count on him in my daily stuff, if I can't, you know, so many times, especially young people today, they'll say, well, I don't want to be lonely. I just want to grab my head and scream. You're like 20 years old. Well, but who am I going to meet? Do you know God doesn't want people to worry about that? He wants you to live your life and trust him. Well, am I going to get the next promotion? You can try and force a promotion. Or you can just simply wait. And do you believe that God would leave you out of a job longer than you're supposed to if you're following him? Do you think he'll take you out of a job sooner than you should? No. Not if you're waiting on him. But if you're in the background forcing things, well, absolutely. And he got in trouble here. I've seen pastors take the wrong church. Absolutely. I mean, I've seen people get up before and say, man, I believe in all my heart that God himself told me. It was funny. When I was at Slippery Rock and they had to candidate a new pastor, there were two or three people come through there, and they said to the deacon that God told them they were going to be the next pastor of the church, but there was three of them. I thought, somebody's got their wires crossed, or you're going to have three pastors, one of the two. I mean, even pastors can end up not doing what they're supposed to if you get ahead of God. And when he did that, look what happened. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me and that thou camest not within the days appointed, Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord, and I forced myself, which he did no such thing, and I forced myself and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, by the way, if you get busted by God, just admit it. Don't do nonsense like that. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel. For man, had he just waited? If he had just waited, you wouldn't have had David. Not in that timing. Maybe later, but not in that timing. Because, you know, but because he didn't wait, that was the end of his kingdom. One little tiny decision. Do you think decisions in getting ahead of God have the same ramifications today? Yes. You marry the wrong person? Absolutely. You take the wrong job? Absolutely. You say the wrong thing at the wrong time? Absolutely. You try to solve a problem before God's ready to fix the problem? Absolutely. You want to make sure you're doing it in God's time. Let's just look at one more. This is a neat story. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 44. 1 Kings 18. Let's go up to verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat, to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. So he just told King Ahab the drought was going to be over and there's going to be rain. And now he's up on the mountain praying. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. So Elijah, we already know, knows how to get a hold of God. He's done that before. And he's on the mountain, he's praying. He already put his word out there to the king that it was going to rain. Hadn't rained yet. So he goes up there and he starts praying. And he says, go check. So the guy goes, checks. And his servants go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. That poor guy, I don't know how far he had to go. But 7 times he went up there and said, hey, you see anything? Nope. Elijah just started praying again. Go check again. Comes back, do you see anything? Nope. Is God just playing games? Let's see how many times we can get this guy to run in the edge of the cliff, wherever the sea is, and see how many times he'll do that. Well, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for doing that. And there's a reason for Elijah each time praying. And do you think that each time he prayed? I mean, how much bigger did God get each time he prayed? Boy, I would have liked to listen to him on the 7th one as he's thinking, hey, you know what? I already cashed a check with Ahab. I told him it's going to rain. I would have loved to hear what he was saying up there. He said, go check again. He wasn't discouraged. He knew that when God was ready, he'd show up and it would rain. And he said this, and it came to pass at the 7th time, and that's a unique number, same way with when Naaman went down into Jordan, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Now, do you think that was just, why do you say that? You know, I mean, remember, words aren't random in the Bible. Can you just imagine God himself sticking his hand up out of that ocean, taking a handful of that water and just throwing it? There's a reason why he said, I see a man's hand coming out of the water. And guys, it rained. What about Noah in the ark? He doesn't know when to get out of the ark. So he goes out and he lets the raven out and he lets the dove out. And he does that multiple times. You know, I mean, was God just messing with him? But when it was right, that dove didn't come back. And he knew, not a minute sooner, not a minute later. it was time to go. And guys, there's only so much a human being, even if a pastor loves you with all his heart, there's only so much that a person can do for another person. But something that the Bible can give all of us is this. You can trust his timing. He doesn't want you to live a life of anxiety, fear, or worry. You may feel maybe that you can't take it, but I promise you, you've not reached the breaking point of you not being able to take it, because you'll know it, because that's when he shows up. He is not going to push you further than he knows that you're able to take that. And trust me, we all know, when God's timing is right, is it not the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life? You just step back and go, wow, glad I waited. Glad I didn't rush that. Glad I didn't give up. Glad I kept going to church. Man, I'm glad I kept being faithful. Man, I'm glad I kept, you know, by the stuff in New Orleans, the first place I was a pastor, when I was hired, I think I made $100 a week, which, I mean, granted, it was in 1991, but still wasn't a lot of money. And my job was, I taught school, never going to do that again. I taught 4 years of high school, and I said, God, I'll go to Uganda. Just get me out of teaching school. I don't have any business teaching somebody's kids, and I have no idea whether everybody that I taught's in jail or not, but I said, that's not for me. But I remember I was teaching, and I really wanted to work with the youth, and I was the assistant pastor, and then one day they hired a new guy. And Chris, they took my job that I had and gave it to the new guy, and I got the little kids. So I went from bad to worse. You know, I went down to middle school, and oh, my word, I was not ready for that at all. You know, I mean, I was so depressed. And then this guy that they got, I didn't like him, because he's just a little odd acting with the girls. I remember one time, you know, he even said something about me. I was like, well, that's a little off color. I don't know if I appreciate that. And I'd go to the pastor and I'd tell him, hey, I'm not really comfortable with this guy. Now, I was battling a bad attitude because he gave him my job. And, you know, hiring more people before he could pay the other people, right? I was thinking, man. And then one night the pastor, you know, there was warning signs all over. This guy wasn't any good, and I'd go tell the pastor. And then one night, I preached Sunday morning, and he preached Sunday night. And I went there, and some people had said some things, and his message was all about people saying things about him, and it was a message really against the pastor. Well, Maggie said, are you going to come home with me? I said, no, I'm going to drive home by myself. And I told her, I got home, I said, that's it, I'm done, I'm going to resign. I cannot work with this man one more day. I am done. Had no idea where I was going. All I know is that was the end of that. Couldn't do it. I knew something was wrong. Got in the shower. As soon as I got out of the shower, that phone was just blowing up, and it was the pastor. And he said, Dave, he said, I know what you're going to do. He said, don't do it. Give me till tomorrow. We're going to fire the guy. And he did. He fired him. And then it was very obvious after that he was no good, and life went on. And then one day, that pastor came to me and said, hey, Dave, I want you to come out and eat dinner. Remember, it was raining. And he said, I want you to come to dinner with us. I got something to tell you. He says, I'm gonna go, and I'm going to be a missionary, and I want you to candidate to be the pastor. Of course, I didn't. At that moment, I was 27 and thought, there ain't no way in the world people are going to vote me in. You know, so I thought, well, they can vote on me. They'll say no, and I'll go to the mission field. Well, they did vote, and it was 100%, and I spent 4 more years as their pastor. In God's time. Then in God's time, I spent 3 more years as an assistant pastor in North Carolina. And in God's time, he moved me to Slippery Rock, and we got to see the Lord do some cool things there. Then in his time, I went to Africa. And then in his time, I'm here. And you know what? That's all I know what to do. I've got all kinds of unanswered questions in my head. And I just know I can trust him and wait on him. And his timing is never wrong. And one of the things about mature Christianity is when we begin to no longer know these things, but practice them. When we take them to a head knowledge, to an actual practice purpose in our lives, that's when there's spiritual maturity. It's one thing to know that God's never late. It's another thing to cash that check and to put feet to that and just trust his timing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. And thank you, Lord, for helping us see that. And Lord, everybody in this room has got unanswered questions in their mind. And we're just waiting. What's the next step? Lord, we all thinking about that when it comes to this coronavirus. When is it going to get back to normal? When are we going to be able to do this? When are we going to be able to have Awanas again? And when are we going to be able to evangelize? And when am I going to be able to get back into jail? And all these things. And, you know, it could be 100 other things out there. And all I know is this. Tomorrow, I'm going to wake up and do what I know to do tomorrow. And then I'm going to wait. And we're going to do that the next day. And we're going to do that next day. Because we know you love us. And Lord, we know that you know what's important and what we need. And because you're our Father and we are your children, you will give it to us when we need it. And that we can trust. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Brother Matt, I just want to show you this real quick and then we'll head home. We won't mess with doing it online. This is just a video that Akam